Before we dive into this episode of the Say What Again, Billy podcast, it's important to note that we'll be discussing a range of topics. While some are backed by well-documented facts, others are based on opinions and independent studies. Listening discretion is advised. It all started back in the late 20th century, when the term conspiracy theory began to seep into mainstream consciousness. With the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in 1963, the world was thrust into a whirlwind of speculation and doubt. The official narrative didn't satisfy everyone, leading to the birth of countless theories surrounding his death, from multiple shooters to government cover-ups. But it wasn't until the age of the internet that conspiracy theories truly flourished. Suddenly, anyone with a computer could spread their beliefs far and wide, no matter how outlandish it sounded. From the moon landing being faked to lizard people ruling the world, the internet became a breeding ground for conspiracy theories, blurring the lines between truth and fiction. Yet amidst the sea of falsehoods, there are a few conspiracy theories that turned out to be shockingly true. Take, for instance, the Watergate scandal, where government officials were indeed caught red-handed orchestrating illegal activities. And let's not forget about the Tuskegee syphilis study, where African-American men were deliberately left untreated for syphilis by the United States Public Health Service. Another infamous conspiracy theory that turned out to be true is COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program, conducted by the FBI. Started in 1950 and continuing into the 1970s, CIP aimed to surveil, infiltrate, discredit, and disrupt domestic political organizations and individuals deemed disruptive by the government. Initially targeting communist organizations, it expanded to include civil rights leaders, feminist groups, and anti-war activists, amongst others. The program's existence was largely unknown to the public until it was exposed by activists and journalists in the early 1970s, leading to congressional hearings and reforms. CIP revelation shed light on the government's extensive and often illegal efforts to suppress dissent and manipulate social movements, confirming suspicions that had long been dismissed as paranoid conspiracy theories. In this episode, the SWAB crew takes a deep dive into conspiracy theories while checking in on some of social media's latest conspiracies. From Sean Combs to the Baltimore Bridge collapse, the crew takes on these theories head-on to distinguish fact from fiction. But it doesn't stop there. The crew delve into conspiracies that were shockingly factual, where mainstream media and government intervention attempted to suppress the truth. Are government entities actively working against those who uncover factual information, stifling freedom of speech in the process? It's a chilling thought, but as conspiracy theories increasingly align with reality, the question becomes more pressing. And that's where the SWAB crew steps in to let you know what may be going on. This episode of the Say What Again, Billy podcast starts now. So, very uneventful today, the eclipse, and joining us today, filling in for Nick, who is sick today, and Joey, who is at work, actor Dario Anthony. Dario, welcome aboard, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Welcome. Good to be back. How you doing?
I'm good. I was a little disappointed with the eclipse, but if you listen to the episode that we did 2 weeks ago about the April 8th eclipse, I basically said nothing was going to happen. I did lean towards something happening that the government would use the natural event and try to do some shady, you know, thing. So it did nothing happen. You know, not that though? We know.
You know what, though? No news is good news these days. So yeah. I'm thankful that it was uneventful.
Yeah, no, it was uneventful. And there's been a lot of things happening. First off, we all know, I did a reel about it. We had an earthquake. And that's very rare for New York. And what made me raise the eyebrow for the eclipse is that it spawned or it happened in Palestine. What was it? No,
The only thing I heard about where it was centered was Trump's golf course, Bethminster.
That's yeah.
In New Jersey. I heard it's Lebanon, New Jersey.
Lebanon. That's where you go. Yeah. I'm Palestine. I'm thinking totally another subject.
Inundating with news.
Yeah. So it happened there. And I did hear that it happened at Trump's golf course
I've
is.
Been there.
And
very nice place.
And then this, apparently they changed it because someone was saying online, this is another conspiracy, that, and we're talking about conspiracies today, that they changed it because they didn't want him to have the help in the polls if they heard his golf course got hit.
That's funny. I didn't hear that. But I saw that it was his golf course. That's where the epicenter was.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, the name of where it started from in Jersey, and then we ended up getting it, and then I didn't feel nothing. I was at work that day. I did feel an aftershock at around 6 o'clock. And I was just doing an Instagram Live, which was the first one I ever did. Mm. It was me and Nick doing it. And we had shut the Instagram Live down at 5 or 10 minutes before the aftershock. And I was like, if I would have waited just a little longer, I would have had it on camera. Like, oh, shit, I felt that on camera. And it would have been confirmed because after I felt it, I put 10-10 wins on and they announced, yeah, we just felt an aftershock, which would have been cool. But that was, you know... That was a weird week for New York City. The Statue of Liberty got hit by lightning.
All in one week. A solar eclipse, an earthquake, and the Statue of Liberty got struck by lightning. I don't know what that means in terms of the conspiracy world.
You know what? We don't like in this podcast to think about coincidences. You know, we don't mm-hmm. believe in them. Mm-hmm. I never really did. You know what I mean? So that was leading me to be like, you know what? Something is happening. Someone, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Very bad stuff. You know, we're going to touch on some of that today. So you could think if you're a Catholic that, you know, things are getting bad, that either he's getting fed up and it's time, you know, or something else. You know what I mean? So it made me think this week for a little bit, like try to almost like redact what I said on the episode, like nothing's going to happen that's, you know, in regards to biblical or anything else. But here we are. We're recording right after like 2 hours after the eclipse now at this point. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened. And we're going to get into our episode. So conspiracies, we've been covering a lot of things. We did Ryan Garcia a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure you heard all the stuff about Ryan Garcia, the boxer. What happened to him? I know you're a little bit out of the loop. You're probably better off staying off the internet. And
yeah,
he came out and did a whole bunch of tweets talking about Bohemian Grove. That he said that was real. That they are doing things to children. I don't really have to elaborate on that. I hate saying it, but trafficking and things of that nature. He said they brought him to a forest. That he was like kind of like,
they.
That's exactly it. Who's they? They brought him to a forest, so people presume Bohemian Grove. He actually did a tweet that Bohemian Grove was real.
Oh, it's real. I don't think that there's any conjecture around it being real or not. But what they do there and who these people are, that's the question.
Right.
Kid Rock, he was on Joe Rogan, and he said straight out, yeah, I was there. You know, but like, oh, they have that stupid owl there. He made no big deal about it. But then... You know, Joe Rogan didn't really push him on it, which is strange because he usually was like, when Alex Jones talks about Bohemian Grove, because Alex, you've seen the video Alex Jones did on Bohemian Grove?
Maybe through clips on social media.
He went in Bohemian Grove in the 90s when nobody knew about this, and he had a video camera, secret camera, and he went in there, and sure enough, like, you're watching all of this, and you're seeing, like, a ritual, but you know what? I don't know if, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg type of deal, but they say it's a play. They're doing a play. And these are the, like, you know, theater geeks who are putting on this play. I watched it's like 30 minutes of Alex Jones' video. And sure enough, you know, they're calling up to this deity, day something, but the uneventful monotony of their lives of being these businessmen, they want to shake that off. So they're saying they're going to kill this thing called, you know, day something. I forget the name of it, but it's like a play. I watched it. I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of like a stupid play, to be, you know, lack of a better term, you know, like from what I saw from the video. I mean, they're wearing hoods, you know, like druids and all that right. type of stuff. But it, like I said, did they say like, oh, it's just a play after the fact, and some stuff really did go down? Because, you know, Alex Jones really didn't say like they killed the child in front of him or anything like that. He was just like, they're doing this weird stuff, and I don't know what it is. Is it a play? And these are just theater geeks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know all too much about it. I know about it when we did the episode where Ryan Garcia, I looked a little bit more into it. It's shrouded in mystery. It's you're right. It's not proven to be fake. It's very openly on the internet, as it says, for almost along the lines for elitists to go, you know, people of that nature. But when you start bringing in elitists to certain areas and what we're hearing in the news now, it leads you to believe that, you know, something's going on. And there's two sides, unfortunately, to this world. Just like, unfortunately, there's two sides to politics. And you have one side of people that believe that what the right side is saying is complete bogus fake news, which it's hard to, for me to take them serious when it's coming out on the news. You know what I mean? And on the reel I made, I actually highlighted on the reel with a circle that it was Politico, and they were saying that why is the conservatives and right side of politics so hell-bent on talking about trafficking?
Child trafficking.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, well, why aren't you? It's a proven thing. Like, why wouldn't you want to shed light on it? Then there's some musicians, and something Levine, his name is. He's a Christian. I have this all saved, so I'm actually going to just lower my phone while I pulled this up. But recently, and then we're going to get into, I'm going to attempt something here because Nick's not here. But recently, he actually posted something on X, which is crazy to me. He posted a song. This guy's an artist. And let me see if I can pull up the video real quick. He's an artist, and he posted a song on X that was about child trafficking and exposing it. And his song is doing pretty well. It's like, it's up there, like top two. It was like top two, top three on the music charts.
What kind of singer did you say he was?
He was a Christian singer. He's a rapper, Christian singer. He did. He was. He actually was one of the. He was one of the singers, not rapper. He was the singer in the song, "They're Targeting Your Kids." That song.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, he's in that song. Matter of fact, let me actually pull up the song because then I can get his name. But he was in that song singing like a chorus or a bridge of the song. And he put out a new song about child trafficking, straight up. X took the video down, which is surprising because Elon Musk has become this beacon of exposing
free speech, just a free speech platform. That's his whole motto right now.
Exactly. So let me see if I could pull up this song.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big club, and we aren't in it. That's the old George Carlin joke.
Jimmy Levy. And the song was Boycott Target. That's when all that stuff was going on in June. Whatever. Won't get into that. But he was in this song, and his name is Jimmy Levy. And he has this new song out that's about trafficking kids. Put the music video on X, and it was taken down. So he went on Instagram and started saying why his video was taken down on X of all platforms. Which I found that pretty shocking, too. So, I don't know what's going on. But when it comes to child trafficking, it seems like a lot of people on one side is trying to, like, refrain from talking about it. Which is odd. Because these are the same people that were trying to tell us, you know, go get vaccinated. You know, it's like, that was your focus of importance. And we're going to get into that, too, for a little bit. But when it comes to kids and being kidnapped, or even what's going on at the border, because people aren't just coming here illegally. But Dr. Phil has proof from border agents that kids are coming across the border and literally going straight into trafficking.
Well, I know people who spoke about this, but there's the way they get into the country is that they just make a phone call at the border and say, "Who are you here for?" And they don't vet that at all. So if I cross the border, let's say, and I tell them I'm going to see my aunt in New York, they call the aunt and all they do is say, "Do you know X person?" And then they'll say, "Yeah," and then that's it. So if I'm the cartel and I'm bringing this child across, like, "Oh yeah, like I'm bringing my daughter to see her mother in, you know, Tennessee, call this number." How do you know on the other end of that line is just somebody getting paid to say yes, so they just push them through the country?
Yeah,
that's a messed up way to vet somebody, to just call and say, "Okay, they're good." Like, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, I get audited because you potentially think I might be lying. You know, like this whole idea, like, okay, like, best of intentions for everybody coming in, just go ahead, go. What is this nonsense? I don't see, like, how we're a functioning society right now.
No, we're a joke.
Yeah.
We're a joke. So I'm going to kick off with this, and well, this is going to be new to me. I used to do this, but Nick is very good at it. So
it's official. I read some of that.
Nick is sick. I stopped by his house. He left his Nick's notes in his mailbox. And
very nice handwriting.
Very nice, Nick. Very nice handwriting. So this segment of Nick's Notes is brought to you by Spotify for Podcasters. If you need an idea to get your podcast out there and a way of doing it, download Spotify for Podcasters. So Nick's Notes, done by me, which is going to be... So conspiracy theories. We're talking about conspiracy theories and conspiracy theories today, which is a lot. So an explanation for an event that asserts a powerful, sinister group, typically a political one, is behind the item at hand. It's been going on since the JFK assassination. That's when conspiracy theories started really becoming rampant.
Okay, but hold on. Look, I mean, Julius Caesar, they conspired to kill him. So, I mean, this is nothing new. A small group of people, a clandestine group of people who want to commit nefarious acts.
Right.
I don't think it's anything new. I think betrayal has been around since humanity first, you know, sprang up.
I think what the term, though, that we're trying, like, I know what Nick was trying to do, but what he says when it became prevalent, when it became more, like, relevant.
I guess more in the zeitgeist, the current climate.
Yes.
Like mainstream.
Like in the, well, because the Caesar thing was... They conspired to kill him, essentially, mm-hmm. to like dethrone his power. Mm-hmm. He was too high on the.
But that's a conspiracy to commit.
Right, and it was a plot. But the term is to not go with the narrative, which a lot of people during the '60s didn't want to go with what the newspaper portrayed.
Now, do you think that the term conspiracy theory was put out there to just dismiss people by the government or governments, where like, "Oh, it's just a conspiracy theory"?
That the term, yeah, I think the term, when it became popularized and used as like a definitive word, was definitely something to make you look like you were like, you're weird, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. calling a kid a weirdo in school because he believed in something, which I went through. This is the way of kind of dethroning a person that has facts that or sound too good to be true, a term that would make them be like, "He's just a conspiracy. He's making this."
Yeah, and then often that, you know, conspiracy theories are seen as baseless claims. You know, like, why a lot of these claims are being made have a foundational evidence behind them, but to dismiss it as a conspiracy theory, now it's like an overarching term for everything.
Right.
That's a conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy theory. It's gotten to the point where that term has been overused so much. There's like a new joke now, like, you know, what's the difference between the truth and the conspiracy theory? 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, oh yeah, just give the people in power enough time to catch up, or the people in society to catch up.
See, I always thought that joke meant that this conspiracy comes out, but in 6 months you'll see that it's actually truth, which happened a lot with COVID.
Oh yeah.
I don't, you know, we'll get onto that later, but we're going to get right into the famous ones in history. And that were touted as conspiracies, like people that of conspiracy nature. And that was, the first one is Watergate, which was started as a conspiracy theory, and then guess what? So during the presidency of Richard Nixon, that forced the resignation of a sitting president, it's the articles of impeachment had been drafted. Nixon denied involvement and needed a pardon by President Ford. In 48, he had 48 convictions of 69 indictments that resulted from this whole scenario. Right? Despite it reaching implications now, at that time, it was reported that mostly it was in fringe territory or was outright ignored. Sound familiar?
Do you know like what it was? It was the Watergate Hotel that the I don't know if the CIA or the FBI, one of them, they actually were spying for Nixon on the DNC. So they were getting all this information on the DNC for the next election.
Right. That's
crazy to weaponize a institution like that for your own political gain.
You know who else recently said that that was being done? And he was actually interviewed by someone on a show. I forgot what show it was. And they were like, no, it's not happening. And he was like, yeah, it is. And she was like, no, what proof do you have? And then recently, via outlets like the New York Post and even CNN, reported that, in fact, Obama mm-hmm. had people spying on individuals in the Trump campaign mm-hmm. to get intel before he actually won the election.
You know, if Donald Trump did anything, he really did show you how much of a swamp politics is.
Yeah, he did, because you know, you could disagree, and we're not getting political. We're stating facts here. This is news you can pull up right mm-hmm. now as you're listening and do a quick Google. That did happen. You know, so I'm not giving you banter that's not true or factual.
Baseless claims that are a conspiracy theory yeah, themselves.
No, we're not being conspiratorial right now. We're actually spitting facts. So that happened, and it happened recently, and it happened back then during the Nixon era. So that's that. This is one of the more famous ones that I heard, and people say conspiracy theories aren't real, and then I'm like, but have you heard this? Okay. The Tuskegee syphilis study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 400 patients with syphilis became a part of a trial and an experiment in 1932. It was supposed to last 6 months and ended up going 40 years, despite the fact that penicillin became accepted treatment in 1947. Okay? Several hundred from the study wanted to fight in World War II and were only then diagnosed with syphilis, but they were still prevented from getting treatment. So these people wanted to go to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what group we're talking about. They were predominantly African-American men, okay?
Do you know where they were doing this?
That's a good question.
Tuskegee, I mean, I don't know the exact place.
Let me continue while you look that up. I'm pretty sure it was here in the States, no?
Because that's what I really want to know. Like, was it the States or was it abroad?
Now, check it out. It might have been stopped in 1972, except for a whistleblower. Only 74 of the original still alive, with 28 deaths by syphilis, 100 from related complications, and 40 infections that were born with the syphilis infection.
It's Alabama.
Alabama, yeah. So here in the States, which down south had a big population, still does, mm-hmm. of African-American men and women.
And this is during the Great Depression.
Exactly. All participants, black and often cited as this for the reasons for this to happen, were African-American, and they foregone preventative care. Trust the broken, Nick, I'm sorry, I'm butchering this at the bottom here. But basically, they were predominantly black. And they were the ones used for this experiment and were lied to. They didn't get no cure, none of that, even though penicillin became prevalent and was proven factor to cure and help syphilis.
There's conspiracy theories that Bill Gates is still doing that in Africa.
Yeah. And every time I hear Bill Gates, with everything that came out in the last, like, 5 years, mm-hmm. I just, every time I hear that name, I cringe, okay? Now you could say this one. The top one, because I butchered it in the monologue and didn't realize it until now. I thought that was the right way.
Oh, COINTELPRO.
Right, COINTELPRO. And this was in my monologue. Butchered the actual name. I changed it to CIP.
Mm.
So CIP, while the FBI concept is to spy on domestic agencies of note, power, scope, they went beyond their usual range. they actually went and started, and I know this, Nick, so I'm going to skip through a little bit of your notes on this. I actually researched this, and they started targeting, and this sounds, correct me if I'm wrong, very oddly familiar to what's going on now. They started targeting certain groups that had nothing to do with evil agendas that would go against the United States. Mm-hmm. They started going against, targeting activists, mm-hmm. women's rights groups.
Jane Fonda, they had her under surveillance.
They were surveilling people that were activists at that time. Activism was frowned upon by the government. Like, mm-hmm. oh, you want to change what we believe. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they had the CIP spying on these groups of people. And then it got blown up. And blown up like, this is what's going on. And when it got blown up, they had to come forward and be like, yeah, this is what we were doing. And that's why you see that activism right after that, that activism became accepted, because they were spying on all these groups illegally for no reason, for these groups wanting to change a significant subject that they deemed that shouldn't be touched. And then when they got blown up and they found out, after a reporter reported it, that this was going on with factual evidence, everything changed.
So I get, like, is it fair to say that we're seeing the pendulum swing back and forth over the course of 100 years between the left and the right? Like, when the right reaches too far with these programs like COINTELPRO, the left's response is to respond in kind. Are we seeing the pendulum swing left? Because now they have a majority of institutions under their power. So what you're seeing is now the control of the left, now the shoe is on the other foot. Yeah, and now, like, does it – I'm not saying it warrants what they're doing at all, because two wrongs do not make a right. But, I mean, are we looking at these two factions vying for power over this, over the course of 100 years? And if so, like, is this conducive to a – productive society moving forward? Like is it only going to get worse?
Well, I'll tell you this, without being political here, I'll get a little political. I think that the person in charge has to get changed.
But now, but like you just said right there,
because I don't see it getting better with him at all.
No, but is all just like the queen, like a figurehead, because there's still a deep state.
There is, but it just seems to have, with the last sitting president, that it wasn't, you know, things were like kind of like,
it's overwhelmingly left.
Right, the deep swamp mm-hmm. was trying, mm-hmm. and the only way that interfered was these allegations via the news. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. And you could say what you want. This is factual. There's hard facts that even when you see CNN reporting against their, you know, their savior, that's what it comes down to. Because they don't talk about anything nice about RFK. They don't even hear about him on the news. And Trump, forget about it. It's always negative. But we're not in a good place.
No.
Milk, eggs, bread, expensive.
Civil War.
Gas.
World War III.
Yeah, World War III is literally like any day now. For like the last few months, it could be any day.
The world has become a powder keg.
Yes. it's bad. And this didn't happen under the last president or the president before. There was wars before Trump. But, like, this is, like, the worst I've been coherent to the world, I would say, since 18, where I'm actually, like, reading stuff at, you know, because I was a teenager, I wasn't looking into politics at all. Mm-hmm. 18, you start realizing, you start driving, you got to pay, you got to work. You start realizing certain things. Maybe you don't look too far into it. Mm-hmm. When you get to your mid-20s, like, and I've worked since I was 14, when I got to like my mid-20s, I started looking into things like, okay, why is this happening? Why am I only getting, you know, 5/8 of my check and the rest of the money is going to tax? Like, what? You start looking into things. At my age now, at 37, I can wholeheartedly tell you that the last 3 years and change has been terrible. And I had a friend who's very liberal tell me, give him a chance. And I says, you know what? I'm going to. And I have not seen or can name anything good, except for what he's trying again is this student relief, so that he can basically win votes by taking care of the decision they made to go for the college.
But I mean, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're just gonna make you, with through your taxes, pay for these kids who took up useless college degrees that are inactive because they can't pay them back. you're going to pay him. So they're going to rob you to pay him to vote for them.
Which leads me into the next subject of modern conspiracies. And we all heard about the Baltimore Bridge collapse, right? Mm. Now, I'm not going to get too crazy into it because it's a little, there's things about the video and about the whole scenario that were definitely weird.
The crew, the time of day, why the FBI within 6 hours was like, yeah, nothing to see here.
And that, you know, there was anchor dropped on a certain part and it was impossible for the boat. There was no tugboats. Why it looked like the boat turned on at a certain point and went right into the bridge. That's one of the conspiracies that are out now that I'm like, I really don't want to get into. But there's one thing in there that really intrigued me. And I'm paraphrasing through Nick's notes here. I mean, we're still in it, but I'm giving a little touch of my own. Is the fact that Biden, a couple days after this event happened, said he was going to pay for the rebuild with federal funds, right? When he said that, I went to social media and saw tons of videos, which was something that I thought. That boat and that bridge had to be insured, right? Damages on the bridge, it's insured. Something happens, you call a company and they fix it. You don't have to call a company and pay out of pocket because the bridge is insured. Same thing with the boat, which that boat has been in other accidents around the world. But he wants to
specifically that boat?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In China, I believe. I could be wrong, but it did get into like maybe one or two other accidents prior to collapsing this bridge. Mm-hmm. That boat has insurance, and so does the bridge. But he wanted to take federal funds to pay and build it back. Why? Who would that affect? Us. Taxpayer money. And I could see where the conspiracies are coming in about this because that whole strip for cars and businesses and trucks going over it is substantial. And I don't know what the end game of something like that would be.
For who?
For the government trying something suspicious. Damaging your own infrastructure for what cause?
No, I think they're just trying to cover it up. They don't want you to know that this was an attack. I feel like if you don't have them pay for it, you can cover things up easier as opposed to an independent auditor coming in saying, oh, like, you know, the crew said that they lost power here at this time. This looks indications of like cyber warfare. Maybe somebody turned off that ship from the shoreline and made it kind of shift a little bit and then put it back on, kind of got it
correctly. That was one of the conspiracies.
But like, that's the thing. Like I watched it the next morning, the FBI, who Del Bano was his name. He sounded like an idiot. First of all, secondly, he's like, oh, nothing to see here. So you pretty much closed the investigation within 6 hours of this happening. That in itself is a red flag to say, how is that possible that you've closed the case in less than 6 hours? Did you even like, I'm wondering if they even spoke to that crew. You know, like, all right, mistake, stuff happens, that's it, we're going to move on from this. But all right, let's say if it was a mistake, why wouldn't you have them pay for it? This is not an American ship. Have them pay for it. For them to say no, I feel like that it's easier to say, like, we'll cover it up easier if it's our money because we won't ask questions. But if they come in with their insurance adjuster and say, hold on, like, we didn't do this either, so something fishy's here. Now you have to start raising questions, and now the American people are going to say, wait a minute, hold on, was this a terrorist attack? And if in the grand scheme of things, this was only days after that Russian attack where Putin was blaming America straight out, saying that we think this was you, or he was going into Ukraine. So is this tit for tat? You know, like he just shut down a major port on the East Coast that transports biohazardous waste.
So this boat right here, I'm pulling up the article on U.S. So it's from USC Today. The vessel, I'm reading through it real quick. It says here that the headline for this article is that this boat, the ship in Tuesday's crash, Dali, was involved in at least one prior accident when it collided with a shipping pier in Belgium. So it wasn't China, it was Belgium. Mm. That 2016 incident occurred as the Dali was leaving port in Antwerp and struck a loading pier made of stone, causing damage to the ship's stern. According to the vesselfinder.com, a site that tracks ships across the world, an investigation determined a mistake made by the ship's master and pilot was to blame. Mm. So it did have a prior accident. Now, I would assume after that, maybe the pilot gets a slap on the wrist. Something happens. It could happen. This was something significant where people died. And I could see maybe Putin wanting revenge, and there's Russians here.
But he does. I don't think he wanted revenge. I think he's very tactical. He's very strategic. If you're playing a big game of chess, you just took out a major port on the United States Eastern Seaboard. Their ability to transport stuff over that bridge, you just took that out. That's very all right. Like they, you know, Russians and Chinese are very good at playing the long game. Americans are not. Like we think like, oh, like the one bomb, we got them. They don't think like that. That's like the I've heard Chinese what are they called, defectors and Russian defectors, like you need to understand, like they don't think like Americans. They think about the long term ramifications of how they're going to hurt you, and you have to wake up to that idea. The Chinese are one nation over thousands of years. Same thing with the Russians. This American experiment, we take wins as they come, one after the other. They don't do that. They look at it for 10 years from now, 50 years from now, even like China's talking about being the global dominant power by 2050. They're positioning themselves strategically around the world to do so. They don't care about your stupid wins here or there. They don't do that. Americans do that. You're like, oh, it's crazy how the difference in that, you can see how Russia would play the game and just do this thing right here, and like nobody would think anything. And the United States government saying to themselves, we'll cover this up because we don't want people to know we were just attacked. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a whole big chess game, and that does have significant implications going forward because it's going to hurt our pockets for the next, they said something along the lines of 7 to 10 years, if I'm not mistaken the numbers. But that conspiracy with the boat, I'm not playing devil's advocate here, but sometimes fire marshals, they'll come to a scene of a fire and immediately find the cause and the case is closed. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They spend more time if they can't figure out something was an arson, if it wasn't a candle that was left on or the gas was left on a stove and someone lit a cigarette. You know, sometimes these things are, they went in there. Now there's this conspiracy that came out, the black box for the boat, because every large vessel, apparently trains too, have black boxes. And there's this rumor that I looked into online that the black box audio prior to the ship hitting the boat, the ship hitting the bridge went blank.
Well, if they lost power, I mean, I think they're going to lose power to that too.
But the black box is on its own separate, you know, that's...
Well, would it give it more credence that this was some type of cyber attack that shut down everything in that vicinity? Completely.
Like an EMP?
Yes.
I mean, it was very dark in that video I saw, but I don't buy into that. But what I'm getting at is I actually took it upon myself when I heard that more than once on social media to look into every news outlet, like go past page 4 in Google, and it came up in one page at the black box. But I combed damn near 30 pages prior to that one page that said the black box audio was deleted or mm-hmm. not recorded. So I can't buy credence into that theory because I didn't find it anywhere. And then someone said, well, if the news isn't hiding that, because the news has done that. CNN has redacted stories plenty of times. People have been fired on CNN for a story that's been put out that was completely false.
But then you also have to consider that Project Mockingbird is a real CIA project where they have people within the media to just get out the stories that they want out. So even if it's in the media, like how much do you trust it right now?
I don't trust the media. I stopped, and I've said this openly on other episodes.
I mean legacy media. The established ones that are funded by corporate powers.
I don't trust any of them. I don't trust even, you know, the mom and pop shows on Rumble. I mean, some of them I do because they do a little bit more.
Well, some of them who left that big corporate structure. Like
Tucker?
Yeah, well, even like Glenn Greenwald. Where he was the guy who he helped Snowden out. He was one of the reporters that leaked those files. So I trust him. I'll trust Matt Taibbi. And these are former liberals who are like, the left has gone nuts. I'll trust them before I'll trust a major news outlet. But these big corporations like CNN are riddled with ex-CIA. James Clapper is one of them. Do you know who James Clapper is?
And wasn't he a former agent, FBI or CIA?
CIA.
Yeah, and he was under the Bush administration?
No, he was under Obama.
Was it Obama?
And that he was the impetus for Snowden releasing the documents because Snowden watched that man under oath. And you can watch the video.
Lie about the bombings?
No, not the bombings, but spying on American citizens. Mm. You know, a senator or one of these guys in Congress just sitting there saying to this man, CIA, does the American government spy on American citizens? And he scratches his head. There's your tell. Not wittingly. Meaning that if we do, we don't know we do. And Snowden watched that and said, this guy is lying right now. Snowden is the one in I think, Russia right now who can't leave because if he leaves, he's going to get extradited to the United States.
United Kingdom.
Yeah. No, that's Julian Assange. Assange is there. He's in Russia. He can't leave there because he'll get extradited and brought to America and face charges. Meanwhile, Clapper, who did lie under oath and really did that, works for CNN right now. No slap. And you know what? No slap on the wrist, nothing like that. Yet follow him in 2020 when that Hunter Biden thing came out. He was one of the CIA analysts that said nothing to see here with this laptop. So not only did you lie about spying on American citizens in 2013.
But you lied about there actually being something on that laptop.
What else are you lying about, sir? Yeah. And you work for CNN. You're a CIA analyst. You are still a CIA asset, not an analyst. You're an asset. You're put there to make sure the stories that the CIA wants out, get out.
Exactly. And that's crazy because I always talk about the Hunter Biden thing. And then, you know, one side of politics, their rebuttal is there's nothing in it. Well, his father just was deemed unfit to stand trial for something he did that they had evidence on, which is crazy.
Yeah, who's the big guy?
Yeah, and then there is evidence there. It's just like there's one whole side plus the DOJ, which is under one man's control, literally helping them out. And it's evident, but you can't say that to people on one side. They'll be like, oh, no, 95 indictments. No. Felon, you know, like it really is crazy because
– you know what's funny? The way that you talk to them, like – ask them about Russia collusion that they were swearing up to high
another,
heaven.
Yeah, that's another one. I actually lost a friend over that. Someone in softball, I used to play softball heavily, and I had made friends with this person. And then soon, you know, and he was telling me, oh, the whole Russian collusion, he's going to get bagged. I'm like, dude, something doesn't sound right with that.
It was never there.
It was never there. It was, and I lost Clinton touch with him Obama. That I wish that I, yeah, it was literally Clinton and Obama that orchestrated it. It actually came out like, and even CNN does follow-up reports on like why it's still meaningful. No, it's not meaningful.
That's Watergate for the Democrats, and nobody has covered it in that light.
Yeah, was proven to be. And like, if you go online and research it, and I'm sorry if I'm hitting a sour note with one side of my friends that are on political or even listeners that are on one side of politics, but hate to break it to you, and I'm not taking sides. No one on this podcast or my Instagram will ever know who I'm voting for in 2024. Ever, because I try to keep a standard here, like in the middle. But if you look that story up, what we were just talking about, Hillary Clinton had to pay a fine, not go to jail, which she should have, because that's kind of like interference in a post election. She also
bleached her hard drives.
Yes, but she did pay a fine for doing that, and it was very low key under the radar.
She got a slap on the wrist, is what you're telling me.
Yes, she got a slap in the wrist. Right now, but if that was someone else, and the tables were turned. And that happened, if the tables were turned, that person probably would have ended up going to jail. And what we're seeing now with a certain individual, a law was created and tweaked on one day, and then someone ends up suing this person the next day for astronomical money, right? And then bragging about it. And then we see people on the Shark Tank. I forgot his name.
Kevin O'Leary.
Saying that this whole thing with his raising his assets so that he and getting loans from banks, no one was affected by it. Not a soul. He paid the money back before the due date. And CNN had to go and not redact, but change. Yeah, the Mar-a-Lago is worth $200 million.
You said the quiet part out loud.
They literally.
This is a political witch hunt.
Yes, they literally it is valued at that. So. Why does he have to pay the fine, which got reduced, by the way?
But it should be zero. This is still injustice.
I know.
If you're going to say that you should just lessen the monetary charge. No, he didn't do anything wrong. You're still fining him for nothing.
Yeah.
And you're also sending the message that Kevin O'Leary said to New York,
move your business out of New York.
You're going to bankrupt New York, which to the point where Hochul came out and said, no, don't worry. Like, it won't affect you. Okay, so you just said the quiet part out loud again.
Right, the governor just said, don't worry, it was only made for Trump.
Yeah, so you just put, you're saying this is a political witch hunt. You're pretty much showing your hand, and people are still supposed to trust you?
Look at Jon Stewart. There are internet sleuths that investigated his claims of his penthouse or apartment.
Oh, yeah, like 17 mil. It's like 800% over the value or something.
And they brought it to attention like, well, if you went after him, now go after Jon Stewart for this.
Nope.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. But the only difference is what he's claiming is overvalued for real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, and this right here is something that's not even on the notes, my notes, for this episode. That's a major conspiracy. They are conspiring against one man because they are petrified, judging by the polls, that he's going to win again.
Well, you know, like, this looks like they want, the left wants to go ahead and make a global world order, a global government. So you're going to collapse borders. You're going to have no more local stuff anymore. You're not going to have local autonomy. You're going to just go by whatever this guy in Zurich says. So you're going to have pretty much a king. You're going to have a king, and everybody else are just peasants, and they're going to be feudal lords over us. And I mean, that's not what this country's built on. That's not what people like. And you know what? I'm glad that people are bucking the system. And it's like, we're going to go kicking and screaming, you know.
Dude, the amount of turnover that I have seen in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
From people hating a certain individual to them going into these certain neighborhoods that said that from 2016 to 2020, they're not saying it anymore. And they're seeing these videos and they don't like it. They're doing everything in their power. So much that Meta quietly went on Instagram and changed settings so that you can't see certain political people, even if you don't follow. Like, they shut it off for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, this can't be real. And I went and did the, I followed the video that I saw and went to the three dots, went to settings, and lo and behold, my setting was set to off. And this was on my private account.
Mm-hmm. People told me that.
And I was like, holy shit. So if you could sit there, you may hate Trump, and that's perfectly fine. But if you're sitting there and you're being biased where you can't do the right thing, which is read into that side.
They don't want you to have an informed opinion anymore. Because an informed opinion would mean that you don't agree with
this. But if I was one of those individuals that I was that far left and you claim that people should listen and debate, then why don't you take the time to actually analyze both sides?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I say on this podcast since day one. I don't just get my sources from one source.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to this stuff that we're covering tonight, which is touchy because, you know, there's a lot of politics coming up right now, but I don't just get news from CNN or Fox. I go to Newsmax, I go to MSNBC, I go on Rumble, I go on YouTube, I go to independent journalists that are on YouTube, I watch their videos, and then I collectively get what I am looking for based on the multiple sources that I researched within a week or days or a month. And most of the time, it favors my decision, favors one side, which is a side that is not liked.
It's not even like, it's not even the right anymore. It's just the left and everyone else who's rational and logical. Because this is such hypocritical nonsense that they're spewing. That
look at Michael Rappaport.
The mental gymnastics that you have to do to make this ideology work in your mind, you'd lose your mind. I'm thinking, like, how does this make sense with this? Because there is no type of value system here. Like, you are governed yourself by a system of values that you adhere to, or like core principles. There are no core principles here anymore. It's just like each case has its own merit or doesn't warrant merit based on this stupid oppressor oppressed narrative. If you are oppressed, then that means you get everything. If you are, quote-unquote, oppressor, you don't get anything, which is hypocritical nonsense. Because if you're going by that, there's so many other metrics to life that you have to look at that they don't take into account. It's very black and white, and it's very one-dimensional thinking. You either have to be an extreme narcissist to want this because you're only trying to assume power. Like, look at the mask cult, the mask thing. Predominantly people who were saying, put on your mask, fell on that malignant side of narcissism where they wanted that power over you. And if you don't, you kind of just want to be subjugated over and be that useful idiot that says, all right, I'll just do what people say. You know, like, but I don't think Americans fall in that camp. And they're losing a lot of Americans because people are like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do any of this. You know, so it's just the logical, rational American people versus this metastasized cancer that has taken over liberal democracy. You know, because that's not what this is anymore. This is radical progressivism. And it's weird times, man. Weird times.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree, man. And that's what Bill Maher, Michael Rappaport, The Rock. Recently,
these are yeah. He did that because it's hurting his bottom line to get political.
It's no.
Well, you know why? Because he just became.
It just hurt.
He became he's on the board now of UFC and WWE, and those fans are predominantly on the right, quote unquote. So for him to take a stand and say he's doing that, but Biden, he's gonna lose a lot of money.
Right, but he's also losing a big population and a big fan base that. Wanted him to keep stern on his decision back in 2020.
Yeah, but I think they're a losing cause right now.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just naming a few. Michael Rappaport.
Like, he's a guy who, like, sticks his finger up, licks his finger, and is like, all right, which way is the wind blowing?
Right
now, the way the wind's blowing toward the right.
Granted, he's smart.
He's media trained, meaning that he knows what to say in public. I think he's doing this not because he's seen the light, quote unquote, because look at what he did with Maui. You have the audacity to stand there with Oprah and say, we want you to contribute. Meanwhile, both of your collective income
is more than half the population.
What they would need to rebuild Maui in like less than a year. Yet you have the audacity to tell every man struggling for something you voted for?
When they posted that video, that was like 90% of the comments.
In a time when we're all struggling based on what you two voted for. Specifically, you two are the cause of this. And you want Americans to pay when you have enough money to help these people.
Well, before we move on for that, if Kareem Jean-Pierre was here right now, KJP, she would say, no, it's not our fault. That's what she does that okay. all the time. And you want to talk about reading people's body language and mannerisms. Every time this woman gets asked with a crazy question by one of the reporters, which isn't just one news outlet. It's multiple now. Her blinking is so crazy that it's become like a top comment when you go online and you watch her videos of her answering a question. Everybody says it. Look at her eyes. She blinks like this, and she looks down, and she's like, well, you know.
She doesn't know what to say. How do you cover for these multitude of lies?
You know what? She's lasting longer than, what's her name? The redhead.
I just think she doesn't want to leave because the other one got fed up. She got offered that job at MSNBC, the other redheaded girl.
Jen Psaki.
And they do that.
Jen
Psaki.
Psaki.
I think they do that midway through to get another job. This one has no other job lined up. And like Jen Psaki, I heard she was good. Like she could run the room. This girl's an idiot. I'm sorry to say, like, she's an idiot, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Well, getting off that subject and onto a subject that you may be familiar with because of an affiliation with the movie and TV industry.
I already know what I have no affiliation with these people.
Not with these people. I'm saying with the industry of movies and television. Mm-hmm. Recently, a documentary came out. I believe it's on Max.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And I still have yet to watch it. But I've seen enough clips on TikTok because TikTok does that. They will take whole movies and TV shows and clip it. Crazy about Nickelodeon, and this guy who basically helped with Nickelodeon and built it and directed half the shows. Rob Schneider, I believe his name is.
No, not Rob.
Not Rob Schneider. Dave Schneider?
Dan Schneider.
Sorry. I'm thinking Rob Schneider because you're talking about...
He's going to sue you for that.
Yeah, I'm talking about... Yeah, he is, right? He's talking about all the Happy Gilmore and all the talk of Happy Gilmore 2.
He actually came out. I saw a reel about... he was talking about... he himself was invited to somebody's hotel room, said the same thing, like, you know, like, we're going to have to see you, like, naked, and the guy's in a robe, and he's like, get out of here, like, I'm not doing this, and he just walked out of the room. But he himself, Rob Schneider, said that. So
yeah. So Dan Schneider is, this is about all about Quiet Industry, industry of Hollywood cover-ups and bad sides, but with kids, even worse. It's a 5-part docuseries detailing poor safety practices and leaving the kids to be overworked and less attended while filming these shows. Multiple pedophiles were allowed to work with kids during the filming of these shows. Okay. Now, what we're going to talk about now is what happened. Amanda Bynes, right, and Drake Bell, the two big names that pop up when you're talking about this documentary. Drake Bell had a whole clip where he was basically saying this is what was done. Okay. Now, we all know about Drake Bell. Now, again, I personally haven't seen the documentary yet, but he has a very large bunch of clips online where people are seeing what went through with him. I wanted to talk about Amanda Bynes because before this documentary came out, or I knew about it, I saw a picture or a video of her online, and she looked terrible. If you look at her now, she's like, yeah, I'm doing this, and she looks so bad. But now it makes sense. So after the documentary hit the trailers and people started talking about it, one of the lead comments on social media was, now we know why Amanda Bynes never had a chance.
Look at Britney Spears. She was on that Disney something. She was on a Disney show with Justin Timberlake.
Radio Disney?
No.
Mickey Mouse Club, something like that?
Mickey Mouse something. Some club something.
I think it was the Mickey Mouse Club, right?
Didn't they something. Have like... But here, Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera. Child stars in general, like, are in danger when they're in those positions. But, I mean, how do I phrase this? You take a look at the Catholic Church. You take a look at the DOE, Department of Education, because there have been pedophiles who hide in the Department of Education that they've been found out. These people are not stupid. They're not dumb. They're not like they have this terrible thing they do, like a mass suicide. But look at Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was a genius. You know, he's a smart guy. If you look at him, like, he didn't kill these people. Even the judge was like, you didn't do this. It's the same thing with pedophiles, man. Like, they can fly under the radar pretty well. The Catholic Church struggled with this. The DOE struggled with this. Hollywood's struggling with this. Because when there is anywhere that they're going to be children and they're left in the power of these people, pedophiles are going to gravitate to those positions. Because it's like an urge or a need that they need to fill, like being hungry, you know?
And it's really crazy because when you have some universities and people in politics trying to say that it's a disorder. And there was a lady, I don't have the name offhand, and it was on film, and she was saying that we're creating dolls for them to get their urge out so that this sickness can be healed by them taking care of a doll. And your face right now is what the people in the background had as she was being...
I'm wincing for those listening.
Yeah. Like, but when you have this publicly, like, they're trying to make it okay, it makes it... this Nickelodeon documentary and everything that people have gone through in the past, you're creating not a safe haven for it never to happen again. You're literally giving it an alley-oop.
The problem lies in the people around that are not reporting this. Like, it's being left unchecked. And, like, these people need to just be outed. Hopefully, God forbid it ever happens. But if it did happen, they let it persist so long to the point where it became a part of the culture.
Right.
And now your institution is synonymous with pedophilia. Like, the Catholic Church still has that stain on the institution that they cannot wipe off. The DOE, I don't know how they're avoiding it, but the DOE specifically, they've had pedophiles in public schools in New York City. I'm well aware of that. And they skated on that, like, oh, like, you know, maybe we should check into these people a little, you know, closer. Same thing with Hollywood. Like, I think Hollywood, with them specifically, or even the music industry, if you want to get into the diddler
we're getting to.
Yeah, he, these people are so powerful that they can control your entire life and those you love. You know, so, like, that's that pressure comes down. And then even with the Catholic Church, like, now you're dealing with priests who abuse that relationship with God for their own advantage, or saying that if you do this, like, God's not going to love you no more. You know what I mean? Like, to abuse children in that sense, like, the demonic is a real thing that walks the earth, and to use it in this sense, you're dealing with the lowest of the low. And, like, as the older I get, like, evil walks the earth, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. And just to clear it up, just in case you fast forward or whatever the case may be, we are now talking about conspiracies right now, actual conspiracies that are on social media right now. And the reason that Quiet on the Set is on our list to talk about is because it's a conspiracy that certain individuals or certain groups or a certain side of news and politics are trying to refrain from talking about it, yet this documentary on Max is one of the most watched documentaries, which means people are paying attention. But the question raises, why are the news and certain people in politics not talking about it more when it is a very prevalent problem? We're going to get into it more right after this. And we're back from our solar eclipse break. Nah, had to use the potty. Come back, but we were on Quiet on the Set, and all the crazy things that this guy Dan Snyder was doing to these kids. And there was a scene I was watching where he had Amanda Bynes like licking her feet, and doing crazy things, like a lot of jokes, a lot of references with feet. You know, and we all know that feet's a big thing. Like, it's like,
you know who does that too? Quentin Tarantino.
He has a foot fetish, yeah. And he did that scene with Salma Hayek because he wanted.
Well, there's one with Margot Robbie in that movie she's in with him. It's just a picture of her feet on the screen.
Right. It's a big foot thing. Well, this guy must have had a foot thing, which, by the way, women are making a killing with feet pictures online. Like, I have an ongoing joke with people. Like, I'm tempted to paint my nails and stuff, putting feet pictures just to make fucking money. But anyways, he had her doing some weird things. And he was one of the clips I seen, like, again, I didn't see it yet, is he was like, oh, if they say something I don't like, or, you know, I can make them do whatever I want because it's my shows. Like, out on camera saying that. And, you know, Kenan and Kel, Kenan Thompson actually kind of, like, seemed off when he was in the limelight. You know, he never had a childhood. There's memes out there that these kids didn't have a childhood because they gave us a childhood. Meanwhile, we didn't even know what they went through. And I don't want to stay too much on this because we've talked about the whole child trafficking and the kid thing and why certain people are ignoring it. We covered it the last half of the podcast episode. But one thing I did see, which there was a logo for Nickelodeon. It was like a splat symbol. And it was shaped a certain way. And it's the same shape as Epstein Island.
Are you you think that's the internet messing with people, or you think that's real?
I think that's splat because Nickelodeon has changed their logos and used like different formats for like commercials and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if that was made by someone, but it looked legit. And
it could have been the internet, like, just fucking with people.
You know what? I could do a quick Google real quick.
Just because, like, but you could do the same thing with that Fruit of the Loom cornucopia. People swear to God. No,
that was a real deal. That was a real deal.
What?
That was a real deal.
What?
The cornucopia, there was a cornucopia on the.
There was,
yeah,
but
yeah,
people
absolutely.
Were claiming. I don't know, it wasn't. I think people like to mess around the internet to like things just of this nature, make you second guess the basis of reality or what you did see and what you didn't see.
Yeah, exactly. But I the cornucopia. Then we did the Mandela Effect episode, and I was like, dude, there was definitely. And there's people out there that have the old Fruit of the Loom shirts.
Yeah, and people are like, what are you talking about? It's right here.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know, like, these images of the Nickelodeon that you're looking up aren't the ones that...
Well, actually, I'm looking right now. Nickelodeon logo similar to Epstein Island. Let's see.
Yeah, it makes you question, like, if this Nickelodeon guy, Dan Snyder, is so involved in Hollywood.
No, this is a real logo, dude. This is their logo.
Where are you getting it from?
No, this is their logo. Yeah. This is actually Nickelodeon's logo.
Nah. I mean, it looks similar.
Yeah, no, and actually, this is not, you know how they, Snoops.com, is Nickelodeon's latest logo the same in shape as Jeffrey? Okay, this is Snoops. That's supposed to, let's see what Snoops says. It says false. In the realm of online speculation and conspiracy theories, there's the term again. One of the strangest to make the rounds in March 2024 involved Nickelodeon's revamped logo, which many online online commentators claimed bore a striking resemblance to the infamous island of retreat, Little St. James, formerly owned by deceased financier and convicted sex offender Epstein. Ever since the Children's Television Network unveiled its redesigned emblem in 2023, social media platforms have been abuzz with claims suggesting an eerie connection between the logo's orange splat and the geographical contours of Epstein's secluded enclaved land, also known colloquial. Yeah. Good luck with that. I can't pronounce that. Pedophile Island, located in the United States Virgin Island. So where are you telling me it's fake? Amid the fervor social media sleuths endeavored, however, upon examination, resemblance between the logo and the island proves bad buzz.
So they just think it's not based on their own.
Yeah, they're basically
saying that, oh, we look at it and we don't see that, we don't see connection. It kind of does look
it's like not, it's not. They didn't. I'm reading. I'm just fast forwarding right now instead of reading the whole damn thing.
So they just say, like, we looked at it.
We don't looked think at it. We're going to say it's false, but they didn't say why it's false, pretty much.
Yeah, a lot of these fact checkers.
Yeah, that's a little, like, weird to me, right?
There's no evidence.
Like, there's no conclusive to
that. I mean, it does look like it, but is that coincidence?
No, okay. Now we're going to go from Nickelodeon and using kids in terrible ways and destroying their childhoods for acting purposes while doing unfortunate things to them to P. Diddy. Mm-hmm. Now, dude, I was never a fan of P. Diddy, Sean Cole. I never was a fan of him. And I'm hearing that he had individuals come to his mansion. He had cameras in his room.
Every room. And not just celebrities, but politicians now, I'm hearing. And what is the other one? Politicians, even like pastors? Some pastors, like people of the church?
Dude, it's crazy. And he's apparently involved with trafficking too. Mm-hmm. That was one of the rumors that came up.
They're calling him the Black Epstein.
Well, I'll say this. First of all, I don't hear any other news like, did he get caught yet? He's out and about. They raided his Los Angeles home and his Miami home. I heard he tried to take off in his airplane.
Well, no, that plane left to that island that there is no extradition. What was on that plane? Like, is there evidence on that plane that he's like, nah, you can't touch it because it's over here?
Dude. And then I saw something, a recent video that Justin Bieber, he was getting out of a car and he was patting him down to see if he had a mic on.
That's not recent, though. That's like...
That was old?
A few years ago.
Wow. Yeah. So, dude, all these celebrities. And you know what's very intriguing? I'm not going to focus too much on things that, you know, already are out there, but we're just going through the recent conspiracies. Is Cat Williams was on Joe Rogan recently.
I saw that.
And he was exposing everything.
Yeah, but that's, go ahead, finish
it. I know people think he's crazy.
I was going to say,
right?
Like, because he's smoking weed, he's got an Anunnaki chain on, and he's talking like you kind. I'm like, are you serious? Like, some of the stuff that he was saying, I was like, are you fucking people?
You know, but he's actually physically fit. And
doesn't
and
mean he's and, not far out there.
You know what? Everyone is a little far out there in their own way. Because yeah. I talk to people at my job. And there's one individual there that I'll break down literal facts, and he just comes at me with some craziness. But I don't even talk to that guy no more. I actually avoid him because he just is so far out on one side of things that I'm like, there's no sense having conversations. I have a close friend that I don't have these conversations with anymore because, first of all, a lot of things that I told him came out to be true.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them was the COVID thing with the man. We all have vaccinated mandates for things. I'm like, yeah, but this is kind of a new thing.
When you break people's worldview, it's hard for them to adjust to reality.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? And the one thing he kept saying with the vaccines is, well, it was already made. in 2003, I'm like, yeah, but they're using an mRNA with it. It's not what it was made. It wasn't what it was originally in 2003. And, you know, he doesn't like, he didn't like Trump. He's like, that's the one good thing he did is he speed worked it into existence.
I was, it's not like, a good thing.
I was like, well, it's not a good thing because now you don't even hear about getting your boosters like that or getting it anymore because this really deadly virus that everyone should be, they're not promoting it no more. Coincidentally, coincide with conspiracy theorist claims, right, of cancer rates going up,
yeah,
unexpected deaths, you know, like.
And now they're telling you should be worried of an avian flu.
Right, an avian flu that can carry over to humans and get humans sick and it's worse. And yeah, that's a new just thing.
Right on time.
Right on time. Everybody, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm actually going to get probably high anxiety come August and in September. Because we're getting to that point where, like, I think November is going to be, like, it's going to be a shit show.
I told you. I mean, Daniel Penny's trial is supposed to end in October. He's going to get let out. He's gonna go free just because they want to stir controversy and have that in the ether, so to speak, so that he's not guilty. Oh, look. This white man killed this black guy in a subway, and look what happened. We got to get out there and vote. What that leads to, they like tipping over the dominoes or striking the match, and then they allow the public to just be like, oh, go ahead, do something with that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they do. Like, see, here's a knife, do something with that. You said
the U.S. and the powers that be is not very strategic. That's pretty strategic. And you know what? Not for nothing. Maybe that's why they're letting crime in New York run rampant, because they're giving his lawyers ammunition. You know what I mean? Like, cops can't do anything. People are standing up. Some dude in Queens put a decoy Amazon package on his porch the other
day. I saw that.
And came out. And the guy put it in his bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the guy, he took it out. But he took it out, like, a second after the guy came out with a bat.
Yeah.
Which everybody on social media immediately says, well, Braggs is going to go after the guy that was defending his property on his property and make the other guy go free, which is pretty accurate, but I didn't hear that guy get in trouble. I think that guy got arrested
too much about it.
It was just but there's so much happening now where Penny's case is becoming more fruitful with evidence on why he may or may not have to do what he did on the train.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll put it flat out there. It was a little excessive, but he did something to help people on a train that were fearful, where everyone on that train literally said this guy was, we became fearful. He was threatening and stuff like that. Was it wrong what he did to excessively hold on that man? I would agree.
I'm not well versed in jiu-jitsu to say that he either messed up the hold or he applied too much pressure.
No, he did. He was a trained Marine, and they teach that hold in the Marines.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's basically a
but is it to subdue or is it to kill? Like, you make, maybe he did it. He didn't know he killed him.
What he tried to do, and this is way out of topic, but what I think he tried to do is subdue him, and he put the pressure on too long. Mm-hmm. Now there's a certain threshold where once you feel a person go limp, they're out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And letting go at that point or right before that point will be sufficient enough to subdue someone.
Mm-hmm.
Maintaining a chokehold like that, and we believe it was like a rear choke or a rear naked chokehold, maintaining that and cutting the airways and keeping that force completely blocks oxygen from traveling to the brain because you just knocked out their breathing and knocked them out, and now they can't breathe. Even though he was knocked out from oxygen and restricted blood flow, his arms are still around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
So now the guy is not able to breathe, even though he's unconscious. As opposed to being unconscious, your body still actively breathes to keep alive, like when we go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kept that on too long. And because he did that, that's why that man died. And that's what that side is going against, that he killed him. He had it on too long. If that had never happened and, you know, he just knocked him out and the cops came and, or, you know, came to ask the police, people on the train what happened, it might have been a whole different thing where we don't even hear about this and he has a trial.
Yeah.
But being that he killed someone excessively holding, which reverts back to one of the bigger things in 2020 with a certain individual. You know, he supposedly kept that on for too long, and that's eventually the outcome of why that individual passed away. I'm not getting into that. That's
a whole...
I'm not going down that rabbit hole. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, but yeah, man. So, but speaking about COVID, CNN, I think they got sued for the ivermectin thing, or they settled that because of the ivermectin thing. I saw that recently, which that was another conspiracy, right? They went after Joe Rogan with the ivermectin, and we are taking horse dewormers and this and that. And apparently people who are suing, I don't really believe the FDA or some health administration for saying to them they couldn't use something that worked, restricting their practice, restricting their ability to practice medicine by giving the adequate prescriptions mm-hmm. for people because they were telling them this medicine. And it's in the news. Matter of fact, let me pull it up so I can get the right thing. Hold on.
Well, I told you about that. Speaking of prescribed medicines, that WHO pandemic treaty. Remember I told you about that?
Yes. They're
signing in May. Joe Biden's poised to sign it, but there are no protections for the individual citizen as to what's going to go in their body long term if they sign this
treaty. I haven't heard this, and I texted when we were texting me this. I feel like if that gets signed or people don't know about it,
people do not know about it.
It's going to cause a thing. But here's the news clip. The United States Food and Drug Administration has settled a lawsuit over some of its posts about ivermectin, including what may have been one of its more popular pandemic-era social media campaigns. So basically, when I did read it, is that they restricted doctors from prescribing something mm-hmm. that was effective in treating COVID in the early stages. And they got sued for saying that ivermectin was completely non-usable. And that's why people on social media, conspiracy theorists, air quotes, are saying, oh, like, you're knocking the conspiracy theorists for talking about certain things online. How'd that ivermectin one go?
You know why? You just got to follow the money. Ivermectin is free. Anybody can use it. And there's no money to be made. However, big pharmaceutical companies that pushed the vaccine in the past few years, they made billions, if not trillions of dollars off of that. That's the reason. They bashed it because it was free medicine as opposed to something they can make a profit on.
So let's go through the list. We had P. Diddy, the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Mm-hmm. We had Quiet on the Set. The eclipse we're not even going to talk about. I would just tell you to refer to the April 8th eclipse episode. Nothing happened. You know, and I did say nothing was going to happen. I know you guys saw me on social media making videos and stuff like that about the earthquake and stuff. I reported the news, the fact, and I said it was a little coincidental that, you know, this all happened before the eclipse, but especially the numbers, like 4.8 on the Richter scale. Today was 4.8. Mm-hmm. You know, that was cool. That was weird. But nothing happened. But two of these trending conspiracy topics involved trafficking. And what I wanted to end with, and by the way, Nick, I'm sorry I didn't get through your notes like that. I did it. I made a galleon effort, but no one can do them like you. But I did use them as a premise, as a chain of what we're going to go in order-wise. But what I wanted to end with is something we spoke about on the Ryan Garcia episode, which is why the news is not publicly talking about the trafficking thing. Instead, they're shunning it like it's not happening. And that's now it's getting to a point where you can call me a conspiracy theorist. It's not a conspiracy. It is really happening. And one thing Jimmy Levy, the artist that I was talking about earlier, what he said is, how much power do these people have where you can even post a video, a music video about it, trashing it and opening awareness to it on a platform like X now, where Musk is more about freedom of speech and it gets removed there?
I don't think it's a question of power they have, but the power they leveraged over people in so many different positions, whether it be the arts like acting or producers or filmmakers or politicians or people in the media. If you were on that island and you did some questionable things, or if you were at P. Diddy's parties and you've done questionable things and you know these people, either Diddy or Epstein, has leverage on you, you're going to toe the line because you're like, oh, shit, like, I don't want to be caught up in this. Like, your life's over. Your life is over. So I don't think these people – well, these people are powerful only in the sense that they've gained leverage over so many people that they're pretty much controlling a lot of what's happening in America right now because they set up these – they're called honeypots, right? You lure in these unsuspecting people into these precarious positions. They got literally caught with their pants down, and now they don't want to face the consequences of their actions. So they're going to do anything in their power to make sure that that person doesn't get caught, whether it be an Epstein or Diddy, because if that happens, their whole life is over.
Didn't you, on the Land of Hollywood Part 2 episode, say something like that happened to your friend? They were trying to persuade him into a precarious position.
Yes.
And
he said no.
He said no, and he didn't end up getting that role.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, slowly but surely, his career, he was starting to touch the bottom of the top, so to speak, but it kind of like slowly he didn't get those roles anymore, and sure enough, he was out of that circle.
And you feel it was because of that scenario that he went and experienced?
Wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly. That was like an invitation to join the club, you know, be another agent of chaos and be in their world. Like, we have this leverage on you. Now you're in our pocket. So we own you, pretty much. Like, it's sad to say, like, I think this is how they work on that level of people who, they're, like I said, like, there are evil people out there whose only main purpose in life is to amass power, right? And then they're going to be the nicest people in the world. These aren't jackbooted thugs, Nazis that are walking around. They're the people who are going to smile in your face and say, like, oh, we want the best intentions for you. That's these people, you know, and they're at the tops of these industries. And the way they're going to do that is exactly this. Like, they're going to put you in their pocket until they need you. You know, and that's sad to say that it looks like a lot of these people who are only obsessed with power only got there because of their lust for power. Like who's left at the top that are in it for noble intentions, that are in it because they really want to do good in the world, you know? And it's sad, like we are experiencing a dark age. This is a dark age, you know? And like, where's the light at the end of the tunnel when everybody's corrupt?
I agree, buddy. And you know what? To end off, I'm going to say something that I believe the individual on Instagram, his name is Rob Haas or Haas or Huss. And there's a lot of funny videos. He's a very funny guy and very informative. But what I wanted to do is I actually wanted to read through a full list of conspiracies that ended up coming true. And I have them. And I'm going to read through the full list right now. From 1 to 11, a full list of the conspiracies that ended up coming true. And there's many more, but you have to actually look into it and turn off the news and look into, like, you know, COVID, you could take that with a grain of salt. It's a lot of stuff, COVID's, that people, conspiracy theorists said that this isn't true and ended up being true. You still see people wearing masks, even though that's been debunked 10 times over. The vaccines were effective. They weren't. People are still catching COVID. Social distancing, the 6 feet thing,
was made up
completely bullshit. Yeah. So take that one for a drain of soul. But here's a list of 11 conspiracy theories that did come true. Okay. That people called those conspiracy theorists nut jobs, but they ended up coming true. The Tuskegee syphilis experiment is number one. Number two, MK Ultra, the CIA mind controlled project. Was real. Sounds crazy. Science fiction. It was real. The 1990 testimony of Naira. Okay. Number four, Operation Snow White, the Church of Scientology versus the United States government. Number five, CIA assassinations. Number six, the business plot, fascism in America. Number seven, Operation Mockingbird, the CIA propaganda machine. Number eight, COINTELPRO, the FBI, did I say it right?
Yeah.
COINTELPRO, the FBI versus the 1960s activists, which included more than just activists. Number nine, Operation Paperclip, Nazi scientists find employment in the United States of America.
NASA.
Number 10, Operation North Woods.
I was thinking that. I was like, I hope this is on that list.
No,
we you know what that is?
I actually am not too familiar with it.
Do you know, very quick,
go ahead.
Brief,
the Cuba, the with the boat, they bombed their own boat.
That was in a boat. So the CIA came to JFK and said, listen, we need to start a war with Cuba and we need Americans on our side. So what we're going to do is we're going to blow up an American airliner with nobody in it, and we're going to fake a tragedy.
I did
and
hear this.
And JFK is like, you crazy? No, don't do that. And that's when this started. They had a rift with him, which led to
the assassination.
Possibly him being assassinated. I did hear this,
yes. So that was number 10, the Northwoods. Mm-hmm. Number 11 was Bohemian Grove, the Rich, the Powerful, and the Giant Stone Owl. All 11 of those were the major ones where conspiracy people with their tinfoil hats collectively came and did their research and ended up finding out through research of their own independent studies that these were actual real things. They were not conspiracy theories. They were factual. So what I will end with this episode is the fact of the matter is conspiracy theories, you can call them crazy. Ancient Aliens is one big conspiracy theory show. The first 3-4 seasons, you had me, it got a little carried away. But what ended up making me like that show is a lot of the things in the earlier seasons made a lot of sense. So if you can provide facts and evidence and tell it to someone, maybe these people that are spitting this stuff that sounds like rubbish to you, give them the chance to present the facts and the evidence and hear them out, because maybe their conspiracies will end up being true. And again, to this day, and these were going back from the 50s, 60s, up until recent, that are actually true now, that were once frowned upon, that are actually real, factual things. And we're going to continue to see more of it. The Baltimore Bridge collapse, I'm sure there'll be news about that. 9/11 is still like one of the major conspiracies. I won't touch that. I'll never touch that. I may do an episode eventually on Building 7 because Building 7 is very interesting because it literally had nothing to do with the twin towers.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How would you feel if it was true that that was a false flag?
That it was like our government did it, like proven? Mm-hmm.
As an American, how would you feel?
I'd be pissed off, you know, because that day, you know.
And a New Yorker.
I'm a New Yorker. That day was very sad, seeing everyone's face, seeing my teachers' faces, the seniors. I was a freshman in high school, and one of my friends that was a senior, who I knew from locally through my father, came up to me in the hallway and said, Billy, there's no more Twin Towers. And I was like, what? Walked home that day, went to my building where I lived in the Bronx, and I was able, my landlord was very friendly with us, let us go into the roof. Like in the summertime, we can put a chair up there and just hang out, sit down, smoke cigars, get a tan. Looking over the skyline and seeing a cloud of smoke on September 11 when I got home from school, it would make me mad that this was done by our own government. But if I found out in the next 5 years, 10 years, next year, next week, would it surprise me? No. Because we just lived through 3 years of crazy shit. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be mad. And then the fact of the matter is, if that did ever happen, will it? Who knows? Because there's a big following of people that say it was. You know, this was fabricated. This was done. There's people. I have friends that know me that like, no, this was not. This was because of the planes and the jet fuel. And that's why it went down like that. I do question why it went down in that fashion. Why Building 7, that was completely not near there, just completely went down. Why everyone took out their money like the day before from...
Those trillions missing from the Pentagon?
Yes.
Donald Rumsfeld, day four, we can't account for all this money.
Yeah, and then like they it's online to read that information, but they try to like say, well, this is the reason why, you know what I'm saying? They try to butter it up.
Do you think there would ever be like a, you know what the Warren Commission was?
No.
It was a panel of people to decide whether or not the CIA killed JFK or what happened. And that was brought together like in the 70s, early 80s to say like, all right, we'll take a look at it because people are a little upset. You think that'll ever happen with 9/11 where an independent panel would spring up? Never?
I don't think that'll ever happen.
You think so?
Not now, not probably anywhere in our lifetime. Do you know why?
because you remember it and you are affected by it, they'll right. wait. That's the same reason why they're holding off on releasing vaccine data 70 years from now, because mm-hmm. everyone affected will be gone. Also, with JFK's assassination, do you know they were supposed to release those things with Freedom of Information Act a year or two ago? Said they didn't. They redacted them for another 50 years. You know why? Because it's something in there suggests that the CIA might have been involved.
Right. If that's fishy, and that's where people gathered, they said they basically just admitted to JFK's assassination by doing that and pushing it back.
I think, like, even Trump said, is like, if you knew what was in there, you wouldn't want to know either.
I don't think anything with 9/11 will come out in our lifetime. They'll wait till us to be gone, to the next generation that wasn't affected, wasn't
like
around.
Like Pearl Harbor type, like you and I would never live through Pearl Harbor. And most of the people who lived through it are gone. But if that came out now, like, oh, wow, that happened, you wouldn't be having an emotional attachment to it. Because you and I have an emotional attachment
to it. We were there, alive and well.
Yes. They're going to wait till that's over.
Right. They're going to wait till that generation's completely gone. And I have a friend who passed away from 9/11 cancer. Good friend of mine. Cop. Went down there, dug through the rubble. So that's one reason why I don't really like to touch that conspiracy, mm-hmm. because I'm not one of the people that lost a lot of people or someone very close to me. Like, he was a friend, but I know people that lost people in that, and that's a tragic day to them. And it's a touchy subject that I don't want to, like, I would get into Building 7, because mm-hmm. Building 7 wasn't near there. It just went down. People, even regular people that are like, you know, hate conspiracy theorists, question why that building went down. They don't even have a good explanation for it. You know what I mean? But it, like I said, it would, if they would ever come out that, get a panel of people to investigate it and they found stuff, we wouldn't be alive for it. Just like the COVID stuff, you know, we kind of seen some stuff come out where we were like, all right, the conspiracy theorists were right. There's a joke, 35-0 for the conspiracy theorists. They're going to wait for everyone who got the COVID shot, anyone who lived through COVID, to be gone. That's it. Even they'll wait to, like, the kid that were, people that were babies, like Mike.
Barely, you know, remember it.
And then they'll be like, you know, we did this because we thought it was in your best interest, but we knew it could be bad, and, you know, we'll never do it again and type thing. And then, you know, we'll be long and gone. But I firmly believe, and you can hate me for saying this, that there was no reason to force people to take the vaccine.
No.
At all. And something that it wasn't studied. It wasn't one that was already made. They put different things in it. It was the first mRNA vaccine that could do things. We're hearing all about spike protein now and stuff like that. It was made for COVID like illness, but not what we got. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear that bullshit. All right. You didn't have to force people to do it. And then you're going to ask people, well, you know, what do you feel about this and your decision for the government to say something about? No, we should make our choices, our body. And then I've seen videos where people ask, okay, what about the COVID vaccine? Well, that's irrelevant. You need to get, what?
See, like, that's the thing, like, with conspiracy theories. Is this a smaller pawn on the board to usher in that New World Order, global reset type of deal where, like, the people in the shadows had to come out real quick, like the World Economic Forums, like the WHO, like all these, like the UN, NATO, they're all appearing now dictating orders as if there are no separate countries anymore. Like, you're going to do this and you're going to do it because we say you do it. You know, like, this global world order was this the chain events that were set off, COVID specifically, to usher that in? And they kind of like jumped the gun a little bit, so to speak, because they didn't think that the people would buck the system this much, or they didn't think people would turn to things like this. You know, independent media sources or podcasts that got the word out. Like, these are the two-way or short-wave radios that people were using in the 60s to communicate, that people wouldn't really think too much about. But this is the new generation's way of absorbing information and news. And as you know, the older generations move on, we're going to be the ones who turn to this. And this was a blessing, you know, to have these things during that time, because they might have won.
I still say this, even though Elon took down that singer's video, mm-hmm. Jimmy Levy, if I'm getting his name right, I still feel that if he didn't purchase Twitter that we'd be in a worser state right now with with being able to post certain things and stuff like that. And you could see by the reaction to people on one side of politics, how they reacted was a telltale sign of like what they said. Oh, he's going to intrude in freedom of speech. Like how?
Yeah.
He literally saying he's going to give us freedom of speech unless we cross a certain boundary with threats and, you know, violence.
The veil is falling.
That's the thing. Like you're telling, like that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. The way they responded and acted was a telltale sign that Jack Dorsey was using Twitter as another form of control.
Well, the Twitter files came out. Did you read those? Did you
see? I read some of them. I've watched a couple of videos online about that.
They were getting specific requests from the White House, to throttle people.
Yes. It was, So
it's just become an apparatus of the government.
And the fact that mainstream media doesn't cover that story.
Is it? Yeah. Not a peep.
And that White House was, you know, Biden's White House and Obama's White House too. Like, you're not questioning that at all, but yet one individual is the person that can ruin democracy when those individuals are ruining democracy by infringing on freedom of speech.
They're ushering in a police state, and I think these things are very, very pivotal because we are at a fork in the road, so to speak. Police state is on the left, and freedom of expression and speech and anything else you can think of as an American that you value right now, we are right there. You know, if we the wrong move and we're going down that police state road, it doesn't look good.
I can tell you this right now. Again, November, I read you guys 11 conspiracies that were true. November's going to be crazy. Something's going to happen before then. We all believe that. So buckle up for that ride. But last question before we end. How long do you think until podcasts start getting censored or podcasts like this? Because we did this. There's been, I would say, in 153 episodes that I've done, I've had episodes like this that kind of bleeds into politics. And I have to talk about it because it bleeds into conspiracies. So I have to give some points. What I said doesn't necessarily reflect who I'm voting for, what side I'm on, because quite frankly, I don't care. I see certain things that
I'll be straight out. I will say I'm not on the radical progressive side.
Right.
I'm just not on that side. I don't care about anything else. I'm not a radical progressive.
On my personal account on Instagram, I post things that get me mad because it's evident.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no rebuttal from other sides. But right now, I'm wondering why RFK is not getting the limelight. We all know. But I really like the guy, to be honest with you. I do. Anywho.
He's very strict on Amendment 2A, specifically.
Yeah, well,
I don't like that.
I don't like that either. And people are crazy to think that taking that away is gonna be a good thing. Look at Canada. Yeah. Look at Canada's going through again.
Yeah.
And Australia during COVID, you couldn't walk your dog without getting arrested.
Especially with, on one side of your mouth, you're saying take away the guns, and the other side you're saying defund the police. So who's left to defend you?
Nobody. And you're letting criminals out of jail.
Yeah.
So what exactly?
I'm talking about the hypocritical nature of this.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And you know what? We think we have logical minds. We have this conversation with someone else. They're going to be like, make that make sense.
But think about it logically. Make that make sense. If you take away the police and then you take away the guns, who's defending you when you're leaving the borders open?
Well, we saw something happen, was it last week? That officer passed away.
Okay, yeah, that.
And that guy should have been in jail. And because of the bail reform, why they think that was a good idea to do that, he was arrested 20-something times. So rest in peace, Officer Diller. And he should have been in jail 20 times. Felonies. And he took out a gun at a routine traffic stop and shot this police officer, striking him just under his bulletproof vest, leaving behind a 2-year-old and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
That just became his wife.
Again, so the hypocritical nonsense, who's defending who?
And this all could have been avoided. Why you're lax on crime or criminals like that makes no sense to me. I'm glad Kathy Hochul was turned away at his wake.
She I love that.
Balls that I she even that. Came there. But anyways, these things don't make sense. I don't know what the nature of it and where is it going to go, but because of these things, we're leading up to disastrous things, and conspiracy theories will roam freely with them. Because there's one I don't even want to touch out when we end, I'll tell you. We talked about it already. But people think that's going to happen. And I won't touch that on this podcast. But people think that's
going to happen. It's the thing that nobody talks about, but everybody's thinking.
Yeah, pretty much. But before podcasts get banned because the government doesn't want you speaking about news and getting conspiracies that come true out there, if you have an idea for a podcast, Spotify for Podcasters is the free app that allows you to get your podcasting idea out there. All you need is a tablet, phone, or computer. You download Spotify for Podcasters and get started. They give you all the tools and tricks you need to formulate your own podcast. So if you have an idea for a podcast, maybe about conspiracies, UFOs, or JFK, and you want to get it out there, download Spotify for Podcasters. Dario, thanks for filling in for Joey and Nick.
My pleasure.
Of a job. I know this is your forte. I know you said UFOs and conspiracies, you're on. So maybe we'll try to get you back on before you head down to the big techs.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Anytime you guys want me here, I'm more than happy to come by, man. It's fun.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's always a good time. We, you know, and Nick, sorry I didn't get through your notes the Nicky way. I did my best, man. No one can do it like you. I was telling Dario before we filmed that I tried to do an episode one day when both guys couldn't come. And I tried to just sit there and film it. And I couldn't do it without what I used to do it by myself. I couldn't do it without them. And I stopped recording. I got fed up because I didn't like the way it sounded. And I called Nick. I was like, Nick, you got like 30 minutes to film this episode on the phone. He's like, yeah, I got 30 minutes because he couldn't come in person. So we filmed it on the phone. I can't do episodes by myself no more. So I need someone here. And you are one of those guys who came on so far, like, what, 4 or 5 times?
Yeah, something
like that. And you're great to talk to. You're literally part of the crew.
It's been fun.
You're on the website. It's a great episode. We covered all things that are going on right now in modern times, all the things in the past, and I'm sure in the future we're going to have a lot more conspiracies.
100%.
So, Dario, thank you for coming on. And this has been another episode of the Say What Again, Billy podcast.